For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Tommy, what cars are you looking forward to seeing in the next, let's say, 2 years?
The Pear.
The Pear. What is the Pear?
I'm just reading about it for the first time, actually. Yeah. You remember Fisker?
Yeah.
There's a new model called the Pear.
Wait, Fisker's doing a Pear?
They're doing a Pear. Apparently, it's an acronym for something. Personal Electronic Automotive Revolution.
Oh, I hate cars that are acronyms.
But it's called the
Pear. Those are always people movers.
I like the Pear because whenever I'm seeing like a movie and they're trying to disguise the Apple logo on a computer, they usually turn it into a Pear. So I thought that was a funny bit of trivia there.
Well, guys, in this podcast, we're going to do a bunch of things. We're going to talk about the cool cars that I actually got to be hands-on with, and maybe sneak in a few trucks as well at the Chicago Auto Show, because these are the up-and-coming. I'll tell you the star of that show, Tommy. We're also going to be talking about cars that we've had at the office recently. You've been driving the bejesus out of...
No, don't say it.
No?
No.
You don't want to say what it is?
No, don't say it. We got to keep it a surprise, because if we say it, everyone's going to click out.
Well, I was going to say the Tahoe... No.
Oh, yeah, you can say that one. That was fine.
I'm not going to say the other one because people might click out. You'll have to wait and see. And, of course, we're going to do a Roman's rant.
Okay.
All right. Let's get started. So I just got back with Andre from the Chicago Auto Show, and they unveiled this. Tommy, get this. They unveiled the brand new Bronco. Are you ready for it? Raptor.
Yeah, Andre actually saw it a couple weeks ago that he was flown out to Michigan, probably. I don't know. Where did they take him? Michigan?
I don't know. I think it was Vegas.
Maybe it was Vegas. But they showed him the new Bronco Raptor, and then you got to see it again at the Chicago Auto Show in person. So what did you think?
Well, I got to do the walk around with the chief engineer. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, you know, we've been doing this now for, 12 years. And chief engineers are an interesting breed, Tommy, because some of them know everything about the car, and some of them know everything about the spreadsheet.
Okay, and what did this guy know?
He knew a lot about the car.
Ooh.
Yeah, so what I mean the spreadsheet is, at some point, I think a chief engineer's job, and I don't know if, I mean, maybe they just bring out different chief engineers depending on, you know, who's had media training. The chief engineer in this vehicle knew the important things. He was a fan of ours, watched our videos, so thank you for watching. And by the way, Tommy, what do you think of the new setup here? People have noticed that we've kind of gotten past COVID and we're much more intimate.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Looking at each other?
I don't know if I like it. So what we did, if you're listening to the podcast via Spotify or Apple Music, is that we had our desk kind of in a V and now they are pushed together so we're facing each other. It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know if I should look at you or the camera.
I don't know what the protocol is here.
I know. And then if we have a third person, we can put them at the end of the table.
No, that would just be too much.
Yeah, too much.
Jeez. Anyway. So I'm kind of befuddled by the setup.
Anyway, so let's talk about the Bronco Raptor, right? So I had a chance to chat with the chief engineer, and he knew a lot about it. And he kind of showed me the differences between the regular big boy Bronco, right, which is probably the first edition Sasquatch with the 35s. And now, you want me to just hit the highlights?
Go for it.
Okay, so first of all, only in the four-door.
Yep.
Okay. And first Ford Bronco to come standard, get this, with 37-inch tires.
That's crazy to me. Yeah. 37s, yeah. Wow, from the factory.
From the factory. And then, of course, I'm sure all of you Ford fans out there were hoping that they'd stick a big old Coyote in, but they didn't.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I think people are a little on the fence about. So the standard Bronco's got like the little four-cylinder, and then it's got the twin-turbo V6. And this one has a slightly bigger twin-turbo V6, so it's a 3-liter versus a 2.7, and they're targeting over 400 horsepower out of it. So, I mean, that's very cool, and they put a lot of work into the exhaust on this Bronco Raptor, which is pretty neat. But I do think they probably could have gotten a little bit more buzz with a Coyote or a V8.
Get this. It's got shark gills on the side of the...
looking at
that's
that.
That's how you can tell. Well, the easiest way you can tell is, of course, if you can't tell the difference between 35 and 37s, which is pretty obvious, but let's say you can't, all you do is look at those fenders. The fenders stick out, like, I want to say, like 6 inches maybe.
No, they put a lot of work into the suspension of this vehicle. Andre also did a great interview with some of the chassis teams. And it's got Fox Live Valve 3.1 internal bypass semi-active dampers. And, of course, when you add a 0.1 in the name, it's got to be better.
And it's got a special mode.
Oh, yeah? What's the special mode?
It's a desert running mode.
Oh.
A la Raptor.
Doesn't ours already have a Baja mode? What's more Baja than Baja?
This one is barely according to the chief engineer. It's the modes are all specially tuned to work with the bigger shocks and the bigger tires. So now, special modes and a bigger screen.
The thing that I always thought was a little befuddling, right, is so it's 9.8 inches wider than the Raptor, or than the Bronco, than the base Bronco, which is enormous, right? And it's so wide, it's got the marker lights. Now, there's a couple ways you can accomplish width. You can do it in the fenders, so you can kind of push out the sheet metal.
They did push out the wheels.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the fenders, though,
right?
Because you have to cover the wheels. You can't just make the wheels wide.
They gave it a wider stance.
And you can push out the fenders, which they did, which is good. I think that's really good. And then you can also add, like, the overriders, right? You can add the little wide-body flares. And I think they should have pushed out the fenders more and gotten a little bit less crazy with the flares, because when the flares are painted black, they kind of look like someone stuck some pool noodles on the side of the Bronco.
I would go with, like, Dumbo ears.
Dumbo ears. That's a good one.
That's an old...
That's very 1960s.
I'm dating myself there. But you know what I mean? They're very wide. It looks like...
Well, they're also not body colored. So
yeah.
You know what it looks like? What? I saw this thing online, and it was like this joke. And I hate to say it, but it does look a little bit like this, where someone took one of those kiddie pools,
yeah,
and they cut out the surrounding of the kiddie pool, yeah, and they turned those into fender flares. They're just absurdly wide. And I'm glad that they changed the actual sheet metal, but like they should have changed the sheet metal a little more.
Yeah, you know, look, this is going to be unobtainium, right? I believe, if I remember correctly, and I didn't talk to the engineer about this, but the way they're rolling it out is they're giving current Bronco reservation holders, right, the ability to upgrade to a Bronco rep. There, I think that's how it's happening. It's going to be – the one we bought was $63,000. This is going to be much more expensive. Do they have pricing yet?
Starts at $69,995.
Yeah, so $70,000 and then goes up from there. So, I mean, you know, obviously it's meant to compete with the Jeep 392, which, of course, does have a V8.
Well, I'm wondering if the Jeep 392 is meant to compete with this. I feel like Jeep was was kind of caught off their game, and they had to come up with something. So, 70 grand starting, but that is before the markups. What are the markups going to be like?
You know, I was racking my brain this morning because I read a story that 82% of new car buyers last month paid over sticker. At least $3,000. 82%. Yeah, that means 8 out of 10 people had to pay at least $3,000 over sticker because of dealer markup. So the first problem is, I hate the word market adjustment.
Why is that?
Because that's just whitewashing. It should just be called greed. Something, just call it what it is. Don't call it a market adjustment. Call it just like, because look, the reason I call it greed is because is the dealer adding any value at that point to the transit? Are they giving you anything more? No, they're not giving you anything more. They're just pocketing between $3,000 and $30,000 more, you know, for the ability to have a Bronco to sell.
Now, you're completely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. I hate it. But just to play devil's advocate for a little bit.
Yes.
What about this the concept that, of course, you know, we've had major new car shortages and the dealer still has to pay their bills? What is your response to that?
They're actually making more money than ever because they're only selling the high-end stuff because the manufacturers are building only the high-end stuff. So obviously the margin increases as you get more expensive. And so I think if you were to ask most dealers, they're making more money than ever. And yet they're still bending, you know what, over and, you know, giving it to their customers. Not everyone. There's some good ones out there. So I don't mean to, you know, cast a broad net. But the ones who are doing it are just, you know, maybe you call it the bend them over adjustment.
I think that...
Oh, Tommy doesn't like that.
Yeah. I think that... you got the Ford F-150 Raptor,
yep,
right, is extremely marked up.
Yep.
And then the standard Bronco, extremely marked up. So what's going to happen when you put the Raptor name on the Bronco?
And it's going to be triple extremely marked up.
Oh, my God. It's going to be crazy.
Anyway, look, here's the thing. Like, I mean, the easiest way that as consumers you can fight back is just don't buy it.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's always, you know, it's a pretty pretty badass looking rig.
At some point, if you don't want to pay, you know, the greed adjustment, then just don't buy the vehicle. No one's forcing people to buy it, right?
I know.
So it's cool. The other vehicle that Ford rolled out right next to it was the Everglades, Tommy. It was green.
Yeah. So this is like if you wanted a Defender, but you also didn't want a new Defender, but you wanted like an old school, I want to go trounce through the jungle kind of look. The Everglades is the vehicle for you. So it's got the green paint, so you'll blend in with the ferns. And then it also has
a snorkel. And the coolest thing I saw on that one is, this is actually really clever engineering, so kudos, Ford. You know how some people have this argument the snorkel should face forward or backwards?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, which way should it face? Forward or into the air or out of the air?
I think that your engine's going to figure out a way to suck in the air regardless.
And it's better than the air coming in next to like the passenger front tire. So it does bring the air intake up higher, but there's a little like cutout tab. It's kind of like it doesn't have the little usual, you know, I'm doing the little like elephant tusk with my hand facing forward. It doesn't have that. It's just flat. And then there's a hole, and you can open up the hole in the front of the snorkel or in the back of the snorkel.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's pretty clever, huh?
You know, you say it's better.
It's a hole with also like plastic in it. So it's not just a big hole. It's got like a grid in there, a plastic grid.
You say it's better than sucking in air from like behind the fender lining.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, imagine like how much dust is under there.
I'm not sure there's that much, actually.
Okay.
I almost wonder, and I know it's like the hot thing to do, right? And so like Toyota on their Tacoma, they have got the desert air intake, right? Because it's not a snorkel because it doesn't add any additional water fording.
I think this is a snorkel. But Everglades is a real snorkel.
I think you're right on that. But on like the Tacoma, it's not. It's just what they call a desert air intake. Yep. And the idea is that you're going to draw in cleaner air up top than down low. But I was thinking about this, right? So there are like certain storms that like they have in Australia where they have like these very low plumes of dust, which are like right at like the tire level.
Hajib or Habab.
No, the Haboob is a tsunami of sand. That's not what.
And that's what you're talking about.
No. I don't know what they're called
in Arizona.
The Haboob.
I think it's Haboob. Anyway, we're certainly massacring that. I feel horrible. I think there's people screaming back at their.
Oh, hold on. Let me keep going with my little Australian storms. Right. So they have like these special storms where like the soot is low, so that having a high intake is good. But every time I've ever driven in any kind of dusty conditions, I think the difference between 4 feet off the ground and 3 feet off the ground, or 2 feet, in terms of clarity of dust, really isn't that different. Whereas if you've got an intake like underneath by the wheel, behind the shroud, I don't see in my small brain, like, are you really getting that much more dust from behind a plastic shroud?
Well, if that's your logic, why don't you just take the air from inside the cabin?
Well, you could.
That would be the cleanest of all. It'd
probably be uncomfortable for your ears to have twin turbo V6 sucking in air.
Just stick it in the firewall.
You're not going to be able to breathe, though, because then you're going to have to get new air into the cabin.
Well, it's not going to suck all the air out of
it. It might. Full throttle, you're going to be suffocating.
It's not hermetically sealed, Tommy. There's air. You know, have you seen a car that's been crashed and it loses like the back bumper, and then you can see these like little almost vents?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you have to get fresh air in.
Yeah, that's where it comes in, yeah.
Maybe it'd be like a vacuum.
I'm just saying.
Just be like a windstorm.
If you think that a Thunderliner is going
to,
you know.
Anyway, I think that I've talked to some engineers about this, and one engineer says, oh, yeah, it's much cleaner. Pie. One engineer says, actually, it's cleaner if you look at the data from drawing it from within the engine bay. I don't know who to believe.
All right. Well, anyway, the thing they did when they unveiled it, which was really cool, which was smart. So
they took 1,000 years to pull the tarp off
because
the Everglades.
One of the things you
thought it was a joke. I thought you slowed it down.
Well, so they had a sheet over it, right? And usually you have like two people who quickly pull a sheet, and it's like it looks like you're pulling a tablecloth off a table. But this time, because the Everglades comes with a winch, they winched off the cover.
That was not clear to me when I saw the reveal. I thought it was
that was a winch pulling it off.
Some guy or gal like.
No, shout out to Warren. I think it's a Warren winch actually. Shout out to Warren.
No, that was not. That did not work.
Well, because you couldn't in the video.
You couldn't
see
it.
There were so many people there that you couldn't see the winch, but that's what was there. It was they winched off the reveal.
Okay, there were some very funny comments on the
TikTok post.
You
want to find them?
I want to find the top comment. I thought it was pretty funny. So we got 116,000 people watched it. Pulled the tarp off. You're right. You can't see it. There's too many people.
If you guys want to
550 people agreed with this guy when he said, hold on. Lost my interest when the cover was taking 75 million years to fall.
If you guys want to join us on TikTok, it's TFL Studios. That's our TikTok handle.
Yeah, they don't want to join us on TikTok.
Or if you want to see all of our videos, tfl-studios.com. Why not? You just did it. What did you do today? You did a really cool video today, and it was first on TikTok. You did the.
I did, but
we'll talk about that.
You could wait
as well.
An hour later, and then it was on YouTube too.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we went a lot more because we had to edit it. So let's talk about that. That's another cool car that's coming. So you just came back from doing a video and getting a firsthand look at the Ineos Grenadier.
Yeah, this is cool. I really like this. So this was completely unrelated from the Chicago Auto Show.
But it's a cool car that's coming. That's the theme of this. The theme of the show is cool cars we're looking forward to driving.
Yeah, this is going to be top of the list, I think, for most folks. Okay. So there's a guy named Jim Ratcliffe in the UK.
Right.
And technically, actually, it's Sir Jim Ratcliffe.
Oh, he's one of those.
Ooh, yes. Okay. And the reason he's Sir Jim Ratcliffe is because he's a pretty big deal in the United Kingdom.
Is he wealthy?
You could say that.
I take it he's wealthy.
So he runs a company called Ineos, which is a multinational chemical company, like petrochemical stuff. And he is worth billions, lots and lots of money. And he was sitting at his local pub one day, bemoaning. Is that a good word?
Yeah, it's a great
word. That was a good word.
Bemoaning is a good word.
Bemoaning the loss of the old school Land Rover.
Regretting. Defender. Another good word.
Yeah, that's a good word too. Anyway, he was reminiscing about the old Land Rover Defender. And then he said, well, wait, why don't we just build another one? So what he did is he built a small team, and this was like 2016, 2017, and they came up with an idea to replace the bare-bones utilitarian four-wheel drive with a new model, which would be called the Ineos Grenadier.
It's so cool because a couple things, and we'll get to more details because I'm really fascinated by this. I love all off-roaders, and I love traditional off-roaders, and I love off-roaders that are just basic, that don't have a lot of electronic wizardry like screens,
but
have buttons. And apparently, looking at your videos, this has buttons. So I was talking to – I was out at the ranch today, Tumbleweed Ranch, and we're going to do a video series called Taming Tumbleweed. And so I was out there with Sean, and Sean works with Land Rover. We were talking about – building an off-road course where we can actually test stuff on, right? That's what he does for Land Rover. One of the things he does, he builds our off-road courses. So hopefully he's going to work with us and help us build ours, or at least help us build it. So we're going to try to do it ourselves.
What a mess.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. Coming soon to TFL channel near you, Taming Tumbleweed. We had a guy from Denver who offered to let us use his heavy equipment company, a really nice guy, to actually borrow like things like skid steers and all the things we need to actually do this. So thank you. We're working with them, and it'll be part of that series as well. Oh, cool. Is that cool? Like, just people watching our videos, and they say, hey, you need some heavy equipment? You need an excavator? You got it.
It's very, very cool. What does this have to do with the Ineos?
So he has two Defenders.
Okay.
And I was bemoaning the fact, okay.
Well, he's got the holdup. He's got the old Defenders.
Right, the old ones.
I saw one parked up front of the office. I rolled up. I'm like, whoa, who drove a Camel Trophy Defender?
That was an 82.
Yeah, that thing was rad.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll do a Dude, I Love My Ride on it.
Okay.
He said he'd let us do that. So that's coming. But what happened was nature abhors a vacuum, right? And so basically.
What in the heck does that mean?
Because
people
out there know what that means.
I'm not smart
enough. Nature abhors a vacuum means that if you leave a space open, something will fill it in nature. Right? If you don't plant a garden, let's say you have a plot and you don't plant it with tomatoes, something will grow in there.
Okay.
Right? Nature abhors a vacuum. It won't leave it empty. Something is going to use that space to come alive in. And the same is true with the auto industry. So basically, let's get real, right? Land Rover, when they built the Defender, in essence, built a Discovery competitor.
The new Defender.
Yeah, the new Defender. Mm-hmm. Right? The old Defender was square-jawed. It was like a Wrangler. It was not comfortable. It was not quick, but it was very good off-road. So solid axles, right? Everything you'd want out of a true, like, old-school Defender. The new Defender, of course, is I use the term urban chic. It's much more like the person who's going to use it is more likely to drive to Whole Foods than to
Tasmania.
Yeah, the Baja Peninsula, right?
Yeah,
which makes sense. I mean, that's what most people use them for.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But all of a sudden now, you've got this vacuum where somebody was going to want a square-jawed, old-school Defender because Land Rover's not building it. Along comes Mr. Ineos. Is that his name?
Ratcliffe.
Oh, Ratcliffe. Along comes Mr. Ineos is a company. Along comes Mr. Ratcliffe and says, you know what?
So sorry, Sir Ratcliffe.
Along comes Sir Ratcliffe. Sorry.
Yep, got to get that right.
Sorry, Sir Ratcliffe.
It's a big deal, apparently.
I agree. It's your title. I'll use it. Along comes Sir Ratcliffe and says, you know what? We've got this whole nature abhors a vacuum. We've got this vacuum. I'm going to fill it with my version of the Defender. And that's what he's doing. And actually, Bollinger did the same thing, except, of course, they pulled out.
They didn't do it. The issue is that your vacuum has a few clogs in it.
Okay,
right?
What are my clogs? Well, what's the problem?
Well, I mean, it'd be great to be like, oh, let's just redo a 1973 Series 3 Defender. Like, that's a great idea, right?
Right.
But nowadays, you have to meet crash protection requirements. You have to meet EPA emissions, CARB emissions, and it's very difficult to build a basic utilitarian off-roader.
So a Series 3 would not have been a Defender. It would have been just a Series
3. That's right. That's why I said Series.
You said Series 3 Defender.
Oh, did I? Yeah, oh, well, I messed up.
I hear all the Defender people like, oh, it's not a Defender.
Well, so anyways, what Mr. Ratcliffe did is he, and they're actually surprisingly open about it.
Yeah.
Very open about it. And actually in the London Concours, they parked this new Ineos next to a collection of their own vehicles, which included a Willys Jeep, a G-Wagon, and of course,
so tell me about
a Series Defender.
Yeah.
Well, it's a, have you seen in Europe, they sold a Defender up until the late 2010s.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen like a 2015 Defender?
Uh-huh.
Well, then you've seen an Ineos from a design standpoint.
All right, so the problem I have with it is you've got two words that are hard to pronounce and sound French.
Yeah.
Ineos and Grenadier.
Not a great name. I agree.
Why wouldn't you call it, like, you know, the Churchill?
Because that was a tank.
Exactly. That's what I would have called it, the Churchill.
Yeah, the name is questionable, but the vehicle is very rad. So it does, I mean, there's just no way around it. It looks so much like an old Defender.
I wonder if Land Rover is like going to go and say no.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but I'm quite sure that's happened.
Is there legal issues that are going to come
forth? Let me do a brief Google here.
All right,
Ineos wins challenge over SUV similarity to Land Rover Defender.
Because Jeep did the same thing, of course, you know.
Yeah, that was an August 2020 Car and Driver headline. So I think there was another one. Land Rover loses Defender-related trademark lawsuit. So it looks like there was already one.
Jeep won theirs, right? You know
Jeep
that.
Jeep won theirs against Mahindra.
Yeah, yeah. They had a 7-slotted. Side by side that looked too much like a Wrangler. Anyway, first of all, what powers it?
Why do I want to talk about the design? I'm not done about the design.
Well, now you told me it looks like an old Defender.
But there's some differences.
So it's square. It's
very
got like
square.
Big round lights. It's got probably, I'm just guessing.
It's got flat fenders in the front. It's got a clamshell hood.
Probably it's got those like little nipple turn signals, right, that point out.
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
No,
have
so the front end design's different, the grill's different,
okay.
The rear taillights are different, and there's a bunch of major differences. So imagine like the back, mostly Defender, with door handles off of a G-Wagon. Remember like the little old button style door handles? And beautiful steel wheels. So it's very old school.
You know, guys, if you're listening to this as a podcast, I will have the editors actually use Tommy's video that you shot and roll over this so you can look at it. So
unbelievable.
For all you podcasters, you're going to have to trust Tommy's description, or you can go over to TFL Talk or TFL Studios and you can actually see the thing.
Yeah, and it's got some things. So Defenders had these things called Alpine windows.
Yeah, I know, the little skylights.
In the roof, they had these little square skylights. Yeah. And when you look at the Ineos, you're like, oh, it's got Alpine windows. And then you look closer, and you're like, oh, those Alpine windows are actually grab handles so you can get up to the roof.
Oh, okay.
So the design, it's a big box with four doors and a trunk.
Yeah. I thought they maybe renamed them like Safari windows.
No, they didn't rename them. Although what they did do, which I thought was very clever, it has two sunroofs.
Oh.
But not like you've ever seen before.
Like not like one in the front that covers the driver and passenger, and one that covers the two rear or three rear passengers?
No, so they're probably...
Well, how can you change it?
They changed it. Have you ever seen a school bus?
Sure.
You know how they have those porthole hatches out the roof that like pop open?
Yeah.
They're like that, but made out of glass. And there's a square rectangle.
Really?
Yeah, there's a little rectangle above the driver in the front, a little rectangle above the passenger in the front, and then an old school manual latch, and you go thunk, and you can push out the glass panel.
Remember we had that pop-up camper that had those?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know,
it
it's like
a little fan in them.
This is better than that. This is a comparison to your generation.
A little solar powered fan.
Do you remember the T-top?
Yes, I remember the T-tops. In yes, I remember.
That was a nice thing I said. I could have been like, this is a generation from covered wagons. It was nice to you there. T-tops aren't that old. But yeah, they're like T-tops. But the roof doesn't come off. It's a fixed steel roof except for these portholes that pop up. So that's a cool design thing. Now the engine.
So let me do a favor for you.
Okay.
All right, let's do a SpongeBob reference.
Okay. Yep. Oh yeah.
Actually, SpongeBob never drove a car, or if he did.
Yeah, he drove boats. Remember?
He drove those little boats. Yeah, that's right.
He could never pass his driver's license. Yeah. His boating license. Yeah.
Scary, I know that.
Anyways, can we keep going, or do you want to make fun
No, keep going. Let's get to the powertrain.
Okay, so the powertrain is it's a BMW engine.
Okay.
In Europe, they're getting a 6-cylinder BMW gas and a 6-cylinder BMW diesel. Mm-hmm. Here in the States, we're only getting the 6-cylinder BMW gas engine.
Straight six.
Oh, cool. It's the same engine in my mom's BMW X5, actually. It's called the B58 3-liter turbocharged. Kind of an interesting thing, right? So, like, I was expecting it to be, because the whole thing is so utilitarian.
So, like, 300 plus horsepower.
Well, I was expecting, like, a little carbureted four-cylinder, right? Like the old ones.
That would be real. Like, inside of a basketball. That would be right out with the Defender.
Yeah, but, they went with BMW for a few reasons. BMW actually partners with them. They don't just buy the engine. So, BMW retunes the engine. They don't have horsepower torque numbers.
Okay.
But it's going to be lower, they said, than, like, an X5. Because it's tuned for off-road torque. So
is this company real? Do they have a factory?
Yeah, they do have a factory.
Okay, that's good.
Anyways, they really wanted to make a big deal that they thought that was a great engine. The factory is on the French-German border.
Okay.
It's a ex-Mercedes factory where they built smart cars and then like the EQB or EQC.
Oh, that's good.
And it's interesting, actually.
Always good to have a factory.
They're still contracting with Mercedes to build them some vehicles. So now they have the factory, but Mercedes is like, that's great, but can we still have a few cars from there?
So Mercedes is going to... Oh,
so they're still building some cars, and then alongside, they're also developing it for the Ineos.
So kind of like the G-Wagon in a way, which is built in Austria.
Yeah, and so right. That G-Wagon, right? We're talking about G-Wagons. This is a great transition. The kind of the brain trust behind G-Wagon is a company called Magna.
Yeah.
Same company behind the Ineos.
So
Magna did a lot of the underbody engineering.
Okay.
So they did a lot of the engineering bits. Axles, got solid axles, are engineered by a company called...
Dana?
Carrero. It's like the Portuguese Dana.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's like they do tractor axles.
Right.
And then it's got locking diffs. It's got a ladder frame. It's got about, they said, over 10 inches of ground clearance.
Did they tell you how much it weighs?
They did not. They should have asked. But I think they're still working some of that out. It's got a locking center diff. Really cool stuff, though. And... the reason I was skeptical going in is because we get so many emails about like new products.
Yeah.
But it sounds like this company is going to happen. So they just rolled the first vehicles off of the assembly line.
Ooh.
And they're going to hit customer hands in August or September of this year.
It's been a rough time.
In Europe.
Like there's a lot of companies where you don't know how real they are, right?
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, it's a great time to start a car or a truck company. But it's also a great time to start a car or truck company with no intention to actually build a car or truck,
yeah.
But do a SPAC and cash out. You know, I'm thinking Nikola. I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I don't want to like besmirch other companies, but
Nikola might come screaming out of the gates. Who knows?
Yeah, well, this founder is under SCC.
Oh, that's not typically a great start.
Yeah, it's not a great start.
But this is such a crazy time. I mean, apart from like. DeLorean,
right,
and then a bunch of companies in 1903. When was the last time that we saw such an introduction of brand new car companies?
You got Fisker back. You
got Fisker. You got Rivian.
You got Rivian. You got Canoe.
Well, let's not jump our gun on Canoe.
You got Atlas. Bollinger.
Let me rephrase this. There's a few companies that are actually hitting production. You got Rivian. You got Tesla, right? And these are brand new companies that are actually making it work. There's a lot of companies that
Lucid.
Lucid is another great one, right? They're actually making it work.
They have a factory in Arizona.
And now,
but it's bad for the real companies because they get slated in with the ones who aren't making it work, you know?
Yeah. Well, you just slated them in together.
That's the problem. So it creates a lot of questions about – it creates a lot of opportunities and a lot of questions. So it depends on, like, are you a half empty or half full glass kind of person?
I'm always half empty.
Okay.
It's so hard.
As journalists, we have to be half empty. We can't be fanboys.
It's so hard to make a car, and there's so much that goes into it, and so many.
All right. So when is this thing? Is it going to be sold in America?
Yeah, it's coming to the States.
Obviously, it's here. Obviously, it wouldn't be here. Okay.
Well. I interviewed their executive vice president for the States.
Yeah.
They're building headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
And it's going to – they're currently under the scrutiny of, like, the EPA. They're under the scrutiny of scrutiny is the wrong word. They're ongoing testing, I should say, with the government agency so they can sell it here.
Okay.
So that's happening
They're going through regulatory
– Yeah, so EPA, CARB, right. NHTSA, all that testing that needs to be done. So they're doing that right now, and they said they're going to be available in the States late summer of 2023.
And the final question before we move on, pricing.
They don't have it.
How much do you think?
55. I'm going 55.
I'm going 55. Oh, dude, no way.
Oh, yeah.
We just paid $70K for basically a heavy-duty truck with
ours. It's got manual sunroofs. I'm going with 55
grand. I'm going
grand.
With at least 100. At least 100 in today's world.
It's got the most bizarre interior I think I've ever seen. It's like something straight out of like a 1970s aircraft liner. It's all very industrial, very purposeful with big square buttons. They kind of look like Legos. Very easy to read and layout.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Yeah. But I like, too, that like the reason I think they're going to make it is a lot of the companies try to do everything by themselves, right? And they claim to do everything by themselves. And we're building the chassis. We're building the axles. We're building the engine. And these guys are smart enough to be like, all right,
we'll get people who know how to do this.
Let's get people that know how to do this.
All right, well, let's keep going. So one of the vehicles that this week that you've driven and taken off-road, and that video is, of course, at tfl-studios.com, is the new Tahoe Z71. What do you think of it?
It's good.
Yeah, you like the Tahoe?
Yeah.
A big boy, big pan kind of truck?
They did a good job. So they sent us the one. We had it. Remember we took it off-road?
I remember we took it off-road when it first came out.
But this one had the big engine, right? So the
6.2.
Yeah, this was the monster.
Yeah. It's 460.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really liked it. I didn't love it as much the first time, but I kind of spent some more seat time behind the wheel of it, and I really came out pretty impressed.
I like the look of it. It looks really good.
It looks really cool. Yeah. It's got height adjustable air suspension. I don't think GM really has the air suspension quite dialed in.
Yeah, they have done for a long time.
No, they haven't. It's still a little.
GM's done a lot of good stuff, but air suspension.
Yeah, it's got, like, I had a couple weird anomalies go on during our testing.
Okay.
But it does have a low range. It's got a limited slip diff, which I ran through some testing and grips pretty well. It does a good job of sending wheel speed to the other wheel. Like, it's good. Interior's nice.
How much?
72 grand. It's a lot of money.
You think this Grenadier is going to be 50?
55, baby. That's what I'm going with. 55. The Grenadier, by the way, has a split rear gate like an Isuzu Trooper. It's got a little baby door.
Like a barn gate?
And a giant door. Like a barn gate. Yeah. But it's not equal. It's like a tiny door and a big door.
So you like the Tahoe?
I like the Tahoe.
You know what I like about the Tahoe? I love the Tahoe because it's just it is what it is, right? It doesn't put on airs. It's just a big family hauling, relatively comfortable, relatively thirsty, good old American truck.
They could have. It doesn't sound very good. It's better than I thought.
That 6.2, you got to uncork it.
GM put so much work into making it absolutely silent. Make the 5.3 quiet. Make the 6.2 burbly.
And here's the crazy part. And that could be chip shortage issues, because I thought by now you could do it. But if you want the Z71, the off-road package, you can't get it with the new straight six 3-liter diesel.
I thought they were changing that, or was that the Trail Boss? No. I thought one of them, the 84.
No, can't get it.
Oh, okay.
Which is a shame, because that's a gem of an engine.
Yeah, that is a good engine.
All right.
But they did a good job with it. I liked the Tahoe a lot.
All right,
so what else did you see?
Can I do my rant now? That'll lead into our next car.
Okay, yeah.
I'll do my rant, okay? You know, everybody out there is super hot for electric vehicles because of their efficiency.
Yep.
And yet, did you know that there's a vehicle you could buy out there that costs about $30,000, right? That gets almost 40 miles to the gallon, that has every safety feature you could ever want, that has heated seats and steering wheel, that can be had in not just front-wheel drive, but four-wheel drive, that has tons of space, comfortable seating, a really interesting layout of controls that's easy to read and tells you everything that's going on in the vehicle. And that is one of, I think, the most undervalued vehicles in the marketplace. And you know, I'm talking about the vehicle whose name cannot be spoken.
Yeah, the Pontiac Aztec. Highly underrated vehicle. I've been saying it for years since we owned one. Loved it.
You got the P right.
Okay. Oh, you're going that direction.
Yes.
No. So no, everyone's going to click out now.
They're not going to click out. Please don't.
Yes, they are. No. They're going to go to the other podcast.
Look, so my rant is this, okay? Before you talk about the Toyota Prius that we were testing, right? Mm-hmm. You actually made a really good point. We were driving yesterday to have a little bit of Red Robin.
Yep.
Right? And you were like, you know, for $31,000, this is an amazing car. And everybody's like, oh, especially Tesla's got to have the EV, got to have the EV. But yet this vehicle has batteries and a powertrain we know will last to at least, what, 300,000 miles?
I have to correct you on one thing you said. I love you, but you messed up the biggest issue.
What's that?
You said almost 40 mpg.
I said almost 60.
You said 40.
Oh, I meant 60. So yeah. If I said 40, I meant 60. It's like 58.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's what's insane about the Prius. I drove, so we had the Prius this week.
Yeah.
And it's a vehicle that all the car enthusiasts like to hate on. And that's why
everybody loves to hate on.
Yeah, that's why we were joking about it earlier. But it's a phenomenal car. Everybody needs a Prius. I mean, I drove it up to the mountains and back. 150 miles through the Rocky Mountains back down. 52 mpg I calculated
and
at the pump.
And you compared it to our little tiny Mini SE, which is electric Mini, and how much fuel, this is on TFL EV now, the comparison, how much money did you spend for the Prius versus the Mini EV in terms of like how much did it cost you to go, how many miles you go?
I was like 176.
Okay, so you went 176 miles. How much did it cost to do that in the Mini SE?
It was like $8 and change.
Okay, and how much did it cost in the Prius?
It was $10 and change, but we had to stop and charge up the Mini halfway through, which took 20 minutes.
The Prius has a range of over 300, I'm willing to say.
The thing is awesome. I freaking love the Prius.
It has, what kind of batteries does this one have?
I think they're the nickel metal hydride, so they're like the dirt simple battery. They're like not fancy, and they're heavy compared to like a Tesla battery of similar size. But, I mean, like, it's ridiculously good.
Which we've talked to Uber drivers and taxi drivers, and we know that vehicle will go 250 miles without any issues.
Maybe even 250,000 miles.
That's what I'm saying, 250,000 miles.
Oh, you said 250.
I meant 250,000.
Sorry, I told me to correct you.
I keep messing up, so 250,000 miles without...
Yeah, people love them. And like you were saying, so we had it was an XLE, and then it was like a Nightshade. 31 grand.
Did you really not know I was talking about the Prius when I did that whole Roman
trip? Yeah, I knew what you were talking about, okay, the Prius. Right, I love to give the Aztec a name drop, okay, because I love the Aztec. Right. But the Prius, like you said, 31 grand. It's got all the safety gear, adaptive cruise control, lane keep assist, lane centering. It's got
basically, it's got autopilot.
Yeah, it's got basically Tesla's autopilot. Yeah. It's the same thing on the highway.
Exactly the same thing. And that's my rant, dude. People are like all, you know, crazy about, like, if you're an electric car, I got to have an electric car. Yet there's this car that does everything that an electric car does, right? Yet it does more for half the price.
I mean,
or less than half the price.
Okay, so the downfalls of it, it looks like an Apple computer mouse. And it's not fast.
I don't think it's that much worse looking than a Model Y.
Yeah, Model Y looks like a doorstop. But it's not fast or quick, you know, like that is...
But you can get an all-wheel drive.
You can get an
all-wheel drive. And the all-wheel drive is really cool because it's powered by the battery. So
yep.
It's basically an electric rear-wheel drive system.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the back seat is huge. The trunk is enormous. The value is good. The fit and finish is excellent. It's a little bit noisy on the highway. I thought it was quite a bit louder on the highway than some of the EVs I've driven, just from, like, a road noise standpoint. But it's lovely.
I've made the statement that the Prius is, like, this generation's or our generation's VW Beetle, and I stand by that.
People need to buy more of them.
I think people will, you know, 30 years from now, look back upon the Prius and say that. And you said when you were in Japan, people actually customize them. They like stamp some.
There's like a big community around tuning the Prius. Like here, there's like a stigma around driving it.
Right.
In Japan, it's like a cool thing to drive a Prius. You can put big wheels on them and get body kits and flares and all sorts of cool stuff for your Prius. I love it. I think it's a great car. It's comfortable, easy to drive. It's some of the best value out there. But nobody wants to drive a Prius. I mean, everyone will drive a Corolla hybrid or a Camry hybrid, but the Prius is the black sheep.
So for all of you EV aficionados, I get it. You want to do something else. But if you're looking at like the practical side of your brain, go get yourself a Prius. It's going to cost less. It's gettable. And it's going to be, in the long term, almost as fuel efficient. And it's going to give you a lot more creature comforts for a lot less money than most electric cars will. I would say a Prius, even if you compare it to like a Ioniq 5, which is a great car, by the way, or a three is going to be half the price. You're going to spend half the money, and you're going to be almost as efficient. And you're not going to have to worry about like running out of electricity in the middle of the road.
It's great. I really love it. I think it's a fantastic little car that's in its fourth generation.
Fourth, I think.
It's a little long in the tooth design-wise. It's time for them to update it. But, yeah, if you can find one, I mean...
Okay, driving lovely. Dynamically, an electric car will blow its doors off. It's not the most fun vehicle to drive.
No.
But then again, electric cars are also about economy, and it is almost as fuel efficient.
Well, I'm sure if you compare kilowatt hours to miles per gallon, it's still pretty far down there. But whatever. Like 52 mpg.
Dude, you can take that thing and road trip it right now without worrying about like where to recharge.
Oh, yeah. Great little car.
And you're not dumping a lot. If you're into like, you know, being green, because it's so fuel efficient, you're not actually dumping a lot of carbon into the atmosphere.
Well, the other thing too is if you're one of these people that's concerned about, you know, like the entire life cycle of the car, right, from production to death of the vehicle, I mean, there's a huge amount of environmental costs with digging up lithium for these enormous batteries. I mean, a Tesla Model 3 has a 75 kilowatt hour battery or something, right? The Prius has a 1.5 kilowatt hour battery, and it's tiny. Like, it doesn't take up that many resources. The gasoline engine is efficient, and it will go and go and go and go. It's like reduce, reuse, recycle. And if you really want to be green about it, you can buy a used Prius, and then it's just, you know, emitting roses and truffles out the pipe.
All right, well, can we talk about some more cool vehicles I got up close and personal with in Chicago?
Yeah, what'd you see?
Well, before we get back to cars, there were actually two trucks that were pretty interesting. And I'm sorry, I know this is Julie on our truck podcast, but I think Andrew's not talking about the auto show, so I have to talk about them.
Okay.
So I think potentially the star of the show may have been the Silverado EV.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing. So it's the fully electric Chevy. What'd you think of it in person?
Well, it's funny because like first you were walking down and I look and I'm like, holy cow, that's a Z06. That was my first time seeing the Z06.
Okay, yeah, Corvette.
And then I looked at the Silverado EV and I'm like, oh wow. It was like, I was like, you know, rabbit. Right. What's that? Is it rabbit?
Squirrel.
Oh, squirrel. Sorry. Squirrel. Right. And it was in this beautiful ocean blue. It just looks stunning, Tommy. The interior looks stunning. It has the avalanche pass-through, which I think is brilliant. So you can kind of fold the seats back and you've got that firewall that you can fold down. And then you can actually extend the bed so you can put, you know, much longer bits of lumber or plywood or whatever you want to put back there. It has this really interesting, it was like white and blue design on the interior, which I'm just a sucker for. It's got a massive frunk. And I think it looks much better. Like the Ford Lightning, which is also there, looks a lot like an F-150, right? This is its own design language. And I think they did a really good job with it. The problem with it is they're really behind in getting them out the door. You know,
this thing, what, 24? 2024?
2023, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they've done such a – I think they've really made an error in the marketing and the rollout of this vehicle, because what Ford did, which was really smart with the Lightning, is they came out of the gate saying it's going to be $39 and change, $1,000, right? And that was the number they focused on. But with GM, they wanted to do the launch edition first, right, with all the goodies. And even though the base model might start at $40, the one that are coming up first – it's over $100,000, and I think that's blowing people's minds, and that's really sucking a lot of the attention away from the more affordable mainstream ones, is this price tag of $100,000 for the launch edition.
Yeah, but it's beautiful, you know, so I could see why, you know, GM is not stating how many are in the first edition, which this was the first edition, which is weird. They should just state the number, because basically what that tells people is that they'll build as many as they can sell.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Right, but that's just, you know, just you're going to make at least number it, right? At least say we're going to build 72, I think that's what Ford did with the Bronco first edition, but at least, you know, give it a number. GM, you'll do better.
I think
you can do better.
Is it good looking person? It looks.
It's a very good looking person.
All right,
it's
I'm not convinced. It looks, you know, a little roly poly in the pictures.
You know what isn't as good looking in person? It's almost overwrought Z06. So the Z06, you know, the new Stingray is already a really kind of like highly styled vehicle. So there's a lot going on in the Stingray, right? You've got a lot of intersecting lines. The back end is supposed to resemble a jet fighter, which I get. But then when you take it to the next level, right, it almost looks like it almost starts to look like, you know, like a high school racer wannabe.
Okay.
And I know it is.
Right, yeah.
But it, you know, I want to say those rear tires are 335s. Is that right on a Z06?
Yeah, that could
yeah,
be right.
Yeah. I want to say that I was looking at them and I was like, I haven't seen a tire this wide since a Countach. I mean, they're like, you know, like that wide. It's incredible. 2.6 GM is saying 0 to 60.
That's crazy.
Yeah. 640 horsepower, if I believe, and like a 10-second quarter mile, if I recall from the video I did. Obviously, once again, unobtainium in today's market, so I'm sure dealers are going to pop those babies over 50,000 over sticker. It was in this beautiful orange color. So part of me was like, I love this car. Another part of me was like, this screams, you know, give me a ticket.
Did you see, I'm just looking it up here on the computer, did you see the new Sierra Denali Ultimate?
Yes, we did. That was a surprise hit of the show. It was kind of off in the corner. And then Andre's like, we got to do the Ultimate. And I'm like, I didn't even know what the Ultimate was, right? So, first of all, where do you go beyond Ultimate? So I thought Denali was Ultimate in GMC speak, right? I thought that was the highest trim. Actually, it doesn't even say Denali anywhere on it. It's got, like, Ultimate everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So once, at some point, the appetite for expensive trucks seems to be so great that you can't, like, stop at Denali. You got to go into Ultimate. And then what do you do beyond Ultimate?
Extreme.
Well, Ultimate.
Ultimate Extreme.
This is, like, the most luxurious Sierra 1500 you could ever see. It's got two kinds of stitching in the interior. It's got French and then like special stitching. It's got the Denali topographical map that's actually etched into both the leather and into the plastic, which is really cool. It had this really beautiful paint that was like this metal, dark like gray metal fleck paint that looked crazy expensive. You know, chrome everywhere. Of course, it had the carbon pro bed. It had the you know, the funky tailgate, and I was betting with Andre. I was like, I wonder if it's going to have the speakers in the you know, in the tailgate.
Yep.
When you open it up, mm-hmm. And it did, of course.
Yeah,
it had,
for sure.
Had the speakers. So
yeah,
it's
it
like
looks,
it's like GM threw everything in the kitchen sink at this thing.
It looks good though. They did a good job styling, especially the interior. I think is better than what they've done in the past. They've definitely stepped up their interior game. So I'm excited about it. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Then there are some honorable mentions that we can talk about from the show. You know, I love Jeeps, right? So I had a long interview with Jim Morrison of Jeep, and they said, stay tuned. What I think he's hinting at is Jeep has a straight six that is supposedly coming, a turbo, twin turbo straight six. And I think, and he didn't say this, so I'm not going to attribute this to him, but I think it's going to be unveiled at the New York Auto Show, and I think that's going to be their new power plant.
I'm excited for that. I think that's going to be pretty cool. And yeah, he was very cool. He gave you a nice tour of the Jeep walk around.
Yeah, thank
the
you,
booth.
Jim. Yeah.
If you want to see that, it's over at Tivoli Now, so be sure to check that out. But a couple other vehicles that I saw come out of the show, we saw the Kia Sportage plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, 2023 model. It's basically a Sportage that now is a plug-in hybrid. So it's got, on the passenger side, I think it's got the electric power charging, and on the right side it's got the gas. It's, you know, we've been talking about the Prius. I think that there's a lot to be said for plug-in hybrids. Now, they can be the worst of both worlds, right? Let's say Jeep also had the new Grand Cherokee 4xe Trailhawk, which Jim said gets 27 miles of pure electric range. So if you don't plug them in, they're just horrible because you're carrying around basically a battery and a motor, right?
For little reason.
Right. And the difference between a motor and an engine is a motor is electric and an engine is gas for no reason. And that's stupid. So basically you're getting horrible fuel economy and you're still using, you know, tons
of... Well, it's not horrible, but...
Well...
I mean, it'll operate as a hybrid, but rather than using all 18 kilowatt hours or whatever it is, you're only going to be using the bottom 1.5 that it keeps in reserve.
Yeah, but Jim made the point that he was driving one and he never... actually runs the engine.
If you plug it in, it's great.
Yeah, so he plugs in at night at home, drives it to work, plugs it in at work, drives it home. And in that case, it's basically you've got all the benefits of an electric car with a range extender. So if you do want to go and, you know, not, you know, you forgot to plug the dang thing in or you need to go pick up the kids and take them to soccer and you don't have enough electricity in the vehicle, you can just use the gas.
I think plug-in hybrids are too confusing.
I think you're right.
I don't think consumers understand them.
Yeah.
I mean, Toyota runs these surveys every year about like the knowledge that people have around electric cars and plug-in hybrids. And it was like, I don't want to misstate the numbers, but it was ridiculous. It was like they ran it a few years ago and something like 50% of people thought that you needed to – 50% of people thought that a Prius didn't need gasoline. It was a huge number, which is astonishing because a Prius has been around since 2000 in the States, right, or 2001. And then they ran it a few years later to see if the education had improved, and it was like 50% of people think that the Prius doesn't need gasoline. It was like the same number.
I was listening to one of the most popular and oldest podcasts in the business. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call people out, but even they were confused with the difference between electric and plug-in hybrid.
Well, it's also confusing when the manufacturers state the words electrified, right? Like that just adds a whole nother dimension. I mean, what is electrified? Like, is a mild hybrid electrified? Is a full hybrid electrified? Is a plug-in hybrid electrified? Is a full hybrid electric? Is a plug-in hybrid electric? It just, we need to get our terms. We need to get our ducks in a row, people.
Yeah, and that's why electric cars are simple because they don't have an engine.
Even people are confused by that. Toyota did that survey too, and then people were like, oh, I thought it had a gasoline engine. It's like, it's an electric car. It's ridiculous.
So anyway, let's get off the semantics of what is an electric car and what isn't. Let's get back to cars. Also at the Chicago Auto Show, we've done so much with this, was the new Sequoia.
Yep, yeah, the new Toyota, the full-size SUV. Yeah, we've done a lot with that. Basically a Tundra with them.
And then there was a brand whose name we cannot speak because they don't work with us. Mm-hmm. They had the new three-letter starting with a W with an R in the middle and an X at the end. So I got to see that up close and personal. Let us say it doesn't look as, you know, people gave that vehicle a lot of a guff because of the plastic cladding. In person, it doesn't look as bad. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Toyota also had their new electric car there, full electric car.
Let me. If Subaru, you are listening, okay, this is to you, Subaru.
They aren't.
If you are listening,
they're not.
let's bury the hatchet.
Wow.
Let us have a fresh start. Let us reset the relationship. We live in a state that loves Subarus.
Yeah.
We have the largest Subaru audience potentially for you in our off-road channel. We own a ranch now, so we're going to be doing some really great off-road testing. You guys are out there trying to build some really interesting overlanding rigs. I'm not going to call them off-roaders because they're probably better suited for overlanding. So let's bury the hatchet.
But we've owned Subarus, and they're all great, actually. All the Subarus we've had.
We would love to work with you guys and, you know, have some wilderness trims here that we could actually review and, you know, get a lot of our viewers, listeners, TikTokers. I think we've got now, you know, one of the largest off-road channels as well to check out your cars. So let's restart. Subaru, this is an invitation from me saying, you know, put the past behind us. What has been in the past, we shall not talk about. And let's start afresh and let's start in 2022 and let's work together again.
What a nice olive branch that's going out to nobody listening. What a shame. They all left when we started talking about the Prius.
No. Yeah, there's like four people left.
Yeah, exactly. Right now. It's like three stragglers barely holding on.
Anyway, I thought that the WRX looked better.
I like it. I think it's cool. Yeah, they did a good job. They also talk about electric cars, right? The Toyota BZ4X and the Subaru Solterra, the full electric cars.
Do you want to go there?
The BZ4X was at Chicago. Did you see it?
Yes, I saw it.
It was in a little pen.
I saw the Solterra too.
Yeah, it's getting a little pen.
I just extended an olive branch. You really want me to go into potential problems with
it's
both
fine.
Those vehicles?
I think it'll be fine.
You think so?
Yeah, people that want a Toyota or a Subaru and the ultra thing about electric car, it'll appeal to them.
Okay.
I agree.
I'm not going to talk about, like, you know.
It's got its flaws. I agree. It's not that
charging
impressive.
Rates,
I know. But I think that it will have its demographics and its audience for sure.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think what else, what other kind of videos do we put out? We saw the electric transit, the van.
That was cool. Yeah. That's actually going out now. What a great use case for electrification, right? If you're going to be driving around less than 100 miles and doing a lot of stop starts, I couldn't think of anything better. It was cool, dude. It was really cool. Yeah.
I worry that that's going to be like a Chevy Volt situation. Like the Chevy Volt when it launched with 40 miles of electric range, that was like the perfect car on paper for every person in the U.S.
Except it didn't have that middle seat that really bummed people out. You can only put four in it.
Okay. That's a good point. But the Transit, I fear, might be one of those things. And I'm hoping that like fleet operators are a little bit more left brain,
more analytic,
where they look at the data and be like, well, our fleet driver's only driving 49 miles every day, but the range is pretty limited. It's like 80, so but we'll see. That was pretty cool. Yeah, it was a good show. Not a lot of major reveals, but you got to see some stuff in person again, which I thought was quite nice.
Yeah, the other, we got to see the Expedition Timberline.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. So Ford is busy Timberline, you know, like Subaru is busy wildernessing everything. Ford is busy timberlining everything.
Yep, that's the off-roady trim.
That's the off-roady trim, and I'm loving that. I think it's really cool. You know, if you need a big three-row and you want to go off-road, this may not be a bad. And then we also got to see the Lincoln version of that, the Navigator, which I'm going to go drive next week, Tommy. I'm going to go drive the new Navigator. Wahoo!
Love it. Love it. Very cool.
I'm really excited. What are you driving? What's coming up for you?
I am going to go drive police cars.
You are?
Yes. Oh, I'm actually very excited about
this. And motorcycles, right?
We're doing something with the California Highway Patrol, uh-huh. and they are inviting us out to their training facility to go zip around in the police cars. So these include, like, the Chargers. Andre's coming with. He's going to do the trucks and, like, the Tahoe.
Yeah.
So it'll be very cool to see what those are like in person. Always wanted to drive a police car. That'll be cool. Let's see what else.
I'm doing a bunch of crazy stuff.
Well, you're going to...
Do the Navigator next week. Then I'm going to do this. Get this. I'm going to go to Willow Springs, Big Willow, and drive the GT4 RS. Like, this is, if you're a Porschephile, this potentially is better and faster and quicker than a 911. Finally, like, Porsche has given the Cayman, right, which is what it is, the Boxster. It's like... sports car Club of America stamp and really like actually having it compete head to head with the 911. So a lot of people are saying that the GT4 RS is actually a better car than the 911 RS.
Well,
or GT3, whichever one you want.
Well, you know, maybe Jerry GT3 Seinfeld RS. Will watch your review.
Sorry, Jerry Seinfeld can watch my review, right?
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, if you're watching my review,
the big Porsche guy,
and you're bored of Spike,
yeah,
and you want to kind of go down market instead of talking about Rolexes and cigars and whiskey, you can come here and talk about
Priuses.
Beer and
maybe he's in
potato
the,
chips and Priuses.
Maybe he's in the Priuses. Who knows?
All right. Actually, we don't even talk about beer. Talk about iced tea. So if you're into iced tea and, you know, the less refined things in life, we are here for you, Jerry. We are here.
Yeah, something tells me that that's not going
to
happen.
You've been listening to Spike's podcast?
Yeah, he does a great podcast. I love his podcast.
It's very, very Porsche-centric.
Yeah, but he does a great job with it. It's very entertaining, and he does some good guests on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what else is going on? You're going to go drive the Navigator?
Yeah, and then I'm going to Europe.
Yeah, you're going to go do some fun stuff in Europe,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I'm going to go drive the electric Nissan in Madrid, Tommy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be, that's a dream trip.
And the Ioniq on a glacier, Ioniq 5 on a glacier.
Wow. What a opportunity. And then I will be here freezing my butt off. What do we got coming? We got a bunch of cool cars coming.
Oh, you know what you get to do? I'm jealous while I'm driving, what?
Yeah, I've got a lot of cool reveals coming up.
You can't talk about it?
I can't talk about it.
We don't like to use the E word, the embargo rule, because I hate that on other podcasts.
I know, but I can't talk about it. But
that's what I'm saying. It was my fault. I shouldn't have brought it up.
Like, legally, cool, I could coming. Get sued.
We didn't say anything.
I'm going to get
look,
sued.
Guys,
oh, jeez.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. No, this is nothing. Don't. Just
oh,
chill.
Oh, wow.
Chill.
What a mess.
Chill. We listen to a lot of podcasts, and I always hate when on a podcast they say, hey, we're going to go do this, but embargo, we can't drive up and talk about it. So we don't just, if we can't talk about it, we don't bring it up, so I apologize.
Okay, so going to go see something cool.
Yeah.
And then we got a lot of cool cars coming to the office, which is very exciting. So this week we have the Toyota Corolla Cross, mm-hmm. which is a little compact Toyota SUV.
And me and Nathan are going to go take that to the ranch tomorrow, and we've got snow.
All-wheel drive. I think it's a lovely little thing. Then on Thursday, we're getting two heavyweights. We're getting the Mercedes-Benz S-Class and the Mercedes EQS.
So we're going to compare old versus new, past versus future.
Well, they're both brand new.
Right, but one is electric and one is not.
Right.
So that'll be
cool. That's cool. So the electric S-Class and the gas S-Class, essentially, that's going to be super cool. Lots of other fun cars coming up, too, including the Miata and the...
Including a Miata?
Yeah, and the GT86, Toyota.
Finally.
Yeah, we'll give him to Paul, see what he thinks. And
no,
then...
Paul went on the program. I didn't get to go on the program. I've never driven
that
car.
Don't know much about Miata. You don't fit in a Miata. What are you going to do driving a Miata?
No,
you don't fit
the
thing.
No, the GT86. I didn't get to drive it yet.
But the idea is you do like a side-by-side, cool, like, chirp, skirt.
Put it on the track? Is that what you
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right, put it on the track.
So that's coming up. Some other electrified products coming as well. So all sorts of fun stuff going on. Andre's getting...
The biggest fun thing is, we'll talk about
Andre's
this.
Andre's getting a Rebel GT.
We've been buying cool cars. So we bought three cars recently. We're spending money like...
Three?
Yeah, three.
Oh, three. Yeah, well, two of them are like... Okay, one of them...
We bought three trucks, I should say.
Yeah, one of them is not exactly
so we're,
a museum
so
piece.
So as you know, we are doing a video series called No Paper Needed. And the first part of that series was we bought three trucks for $5,000 and then took them. What did we do with those three? I've already forgot. What did we do with those?
So it was very cool. Check it out on YouTube.
Where did we go with those three trucks?
I don't remember. I think it's Moab. I think you took it on Hell's Revenge.
I think we took it to Moab. Yeah, Hell's Revenge. We did Hell's Revenge with those. And then we said, let's do it for less money. So we called it for a few bucks less, no payment needed. And we bought three very cheap vehicles, including a Jeep for $2,500 and took them up and over Imogene. Yep. And now we're going big time. We're calling going big. And we bought an Excursion. And yesterday I bought a vehicle that you wanted that I thought was a bit of a pile, but you said it was a good pile, so it's yours now because you're going to be featured in it. What do we buy?
Well, it's a 99 Suburban.
It's the last year of the square body Suburban before they kind of went roly-poly.
Boy, this is where Jerry Seinfeld just checks right out.
but
yeah, it's very dirty, and it's not as mechanically sorted as I once thought. I'll put it that way. But I'm hoping a lot of the weird driving behaviors are down to the completely bald tires.
Should we talk about like Philip Patak or Patek? Is that what should we? You don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
I just mispronounced like the most expensive watch name ever.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, Philip Patek.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like this very expensive French Swiss watch. I'm just trying to get Jerry back in the conversation.
Yeah, he's long gone.
So were you wearing that?
So the
Submariner?
The $4,000 Suburban was not being worn with any watches.
We spend less money on a Suburban than most.
I don't even think Jerry's into watches. I don't think he's a watch guy.
Oh, he is. Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, watch Seinfeld. Look at his wrist when you watch Seinfeld.
Even that's a show. Well, you'll have to leave a comment, Jerry, whether or not you're into watches.
Watch Seinfeld and look at his wrist and see what watches he's wearing.
You do. You are just jealous of his incredible Porsche collection. He does have a phenomenal Porsche collection.
I'm just saying we probably spend less money on that Suburban than Jerry would spend on a watch band.
That's true.
But then
he also has like a bunch of cool Porsches, which I'd love to talk to him about.
Well, he's also incredibly creative and just
brilliant.
Created one of the best series.
Yeah, we're a long ways out from Jerry.
We're a long ways out.
We got a long way to go.
From that amount of like
creativity
and you know talent. Hard work and talent.
Yeah. All right.
So more power to those guys if they can afford. I'm just saying I'm not trying to diss their watch love.
No, I get it. I like the Suburban a lot.
What watch are you wearing? You're wearing something cool.
It's a Casio.
You're wearing a Casio. Show it. Put it up.
This is the Casio G-Shock, and I like it particularly because it tells the time. That's what it does the best.
So this is a company called what? Teddy
Baldassare.
Yeah, they sent it to us, and we said, we'll show it, and if people like it, then they can.
It is quite nice. I don't know much about watches, but it's got a light on it. It shows the date. It shows the time.
It's
G-Shock. I mean, this thing is beefy.
They're not sponsors of ours, but I'm trying to get them to sponsor it because I think that there's just. No, wait, hold on. Rolex has a strong.
You were all about like, oh, we don't know much about expensive watches.
That's not a big expense. How much? That's like a $100 watch.
It's $110.
So go to Teddy Baldassare.
Baldassare, yeah.
Baldassare. Okay, sorry, Teddy. And how much?
We have a code. I think it's TFL10. Yeah. 10% off your G-Shock watches.
Okay. And guys, they're not sponsoring us, but we're trying to get them as a sponsor. So I said, what we do is we would do a couple TikToks, and now I just did a shout-out. Maybe they want to sponsor us because there's a connection between – look, I believe there's a connection between cars and watches. That's all.
The G-Shock is very good at being durable. This is the kind of watch that you'd want to take off-road. It has proven to be incredibly robust. So that's been the best part.
I don't think Spike would wear that or Johnny.
You'd be surprised, actually. They talk about G-Shock sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've never.
They brought it up in conversation.
G-Shock has never. That word, Casio and G-Shock, has never left
those guys.
They're
good watches. They respect a good watch.
Has never left their
mouths. They respect a good watch.
No.
This is a quality item.
I'm telling you, they have, this is not even on their radar.
This is a good item anyway. G-Shock watches.
All right.
Strong proponent.
Well, there you go. We've wasted another hour of your time.
No, you can't say that. This is a car talk.
Oh, is that a car talk thing? See, that's why Jerry is so clever. He comes up with his own thing. So what's our end? Do we have like a little catchphrase?
No, but we'll just say goodbye.
Oh, there's got to be something.
Nope, that's it. Show's over. All right, see you next week.
See you next week. Ciao. Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.